views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the leading edge of personal, social, and global transformation, the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, is making connections that inspire and accelerate individual and collective awakening. Dr. Julie is joined by visionary leaders and change makers from around the world to explore social change, the generative power of conscious, co-creative practice, and what's emergent with health, science, spirituality, and the evolution of consciousness. Break through the illusion of separation, explore the infinite field of possibilities, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Here's your host, Dr. Julie Kroll.
Hello and welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. Thanks for tuning us in today. I'm so glad you're joining us today. We have a special guest, and I love talking about this topic. You know I do. So, imagine, what does spirituality for the 21st century look like? What might it feel like, and how does it come alive in the real world? Consider that it may be based in the ancient Judeo-Christian tradition, supported by leading-edge science, bearing witness for social, environmental, and gender justice, and maybe even giving voice to our mystical experiences. It is said that our guest today may well be the most creative, comprehensive, and surely the most challenging religious spiritual teacher in America today. He's created a new path for leading us out of our contemporary religious and spiritual confusion and into a new clarity of mind and peace of soul. By affirming, and I like this part, by affirming rather than abandoning any of our traditional beliefs. So I invite you to take a few deep breaths, bring your awareness into this moment, and open your mind, connect with your heart, and settle in with your essential self as I welcome Matthew Fox. He's an internationally acclaimed spiritual theologian, an Episcopal priest, and an activist who is a member of the Dominican Order for 34 years. He holds a doctorate in the history and theology of spirituality. As a spiritual theologian, he has written 30 books that have been translated into 48 languages and have received numerous awards. Among them, most of these are sitting on my desk right beside me, Original Blessing, The Coming of the Cosmic Christ, A Spirituality Named Compassion, The Reinvention of Work, The Hidden Spirituality of Men, and Christian Mystics. Matthew's efforts to reawakening the West to its own mystical tradition has included bringing awareness to the Christian mystics and the cosmic Christ tradition, as well as interacting with contemporary scientists who are also mystics, and working closely with Native American leaders. I love that about him, and I just love so much about him, and you are going to too. I want to welcome Matthew Fox. Welcome.
Thank you, Julie. Good to be with you.
It's great to have you here. I really appreciate you being with us. Like I mentioned, and Matthew, on our show, we have a perennial question that we love to talk about and get different perspectives on this. And I know your voice adding to this will just be magnificent. So I want to start with a question. What does all things connected mean to you?
Well, I'm struck by that. It's the title of your show. I believe in it. Well, it's certainly today's science that everything is interconnected. And we all come from the same original fireball, which was smaller than a zygote when it began. And now, if we run the movie of the universe backwards, we all come back to this one place. So it means literally we're all connected. We're all kin. We're kin to the planets and the galaxies and the supernovas and all the beings that we see and all that we don't see in this huge universe of hundreds of billions of galaxies. So that's one thing it means. It also means what the mystics have always talked about, that divinity is connected to all things. This is panentheism, that God is in all things and all things are in God. And so you have the great medieval mystics that so attract me, like Hildegard of Bingen and Meister Eckhart and others, talking about the interconnectivity of all things and how all things are connected, and that the inner part, Eckhart says, the essence of everything that exists is relationship. So that phrase to me is about celebrating a sacred relationship, or what the Lakota pray when they say Ahom Itakiasi, all things are connected. All things are relatives. And needless to say, then, that phrase of yours is a revolutionary phrase, because the modern era has cut everything up into pieces, piecemeal thinking, and we're all in our boxes, whether that box is a church or a religion or a nation and or a gender or a gender preference box, and we tend to still live in these boxes, and we wonder why we're lonely, cosmically lonely, but in fact, we're all connected, and we're breathing in one another's water vapor after 30 minutes in the room together. So we're much more connected than our culture has told us. And this is one reason we need ritual, to regain this sense of awareness of our profound relationship and our interdependence with one another and how we need one another. This is why ecological crisis is so profound. It's because it affects all of us, because we're in this together. We are, as Hildegard Bingen said, there's a web of creation, a web. And if humans, in their injustice and narcissism, if we break that web, that creation itself will punish us. We have to be aware of our interconnectivity. So I love your phrase, and I like your question.
Thank you. Well, before we get into how you've really made that question come alive in your body of work over the last several decades, I'm just curious about your story. Were you born a little boy curious about this interconnected web of life, or how did you get here today?
Well, I was raised in Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, and of course, out there we had four very severe seasons, as you people are experiencing in the Northwest right now, and so the nature was very profound influence on me, the beautiful autumns and the change of colors and all, and Madison had five lakes in it, so canoeing and water skiing and all that was part of growing up in Madison. And so, and the spirit of the Native Americans was very much there, and still is. So I had dreams as a kid that were Native American dreams, for example. So, yeah, I think just growing up in a place like Wisconsin makes you mystical. It makes you attuned to the beauty and the rhythm, but also the severity of nature and its storms. And I remember when I was a kid, sometimes there was so much snow, we had to go out the second story window. The doors wouldn't work. And so, you know, there was just a lot of interaction with nature, and sports were a big part of my life. My father was a football coach at the University of Wisconsin for years. And so the whole bodily experience of playing sports outdoors was very exhilarating for me. It was ecstatic. I had many mystical experiences while playing sports. But I also had them studying and reading and hearing music. I remember reading Tolstoy's War and Peace between my junior and senior year of high school, and I told a friend it blew my soul wide open. So I wanted to investigate what had happened to me. I didn't have words like mystical experience in my vocabulary then. But that's one reason I joined the Dominican Order, was that I wanted to explore what a mystical experience was. And it seemed to me that it was pretty important. Also, I had polio when I was 12, lost my legs. They couldn't tell me if I'd walk again. And as it turned out, I did get my legs back in about a year. And I remember I was so grateful for that. I remember saying, I'll never take my legs for granted again. And I think that's a very mystical comment, because mystics teach us not to take for granted. That's why every breath is precious. And why should we be aware of that only on our deathbed, when we're when we're ending our breaths, why shouldn't we be teaching that every day we live, that every breath is a gift, and our time here is precious, and we should make the most of it. And it's not just about our bliss, it's about service and healing and celebration and compassion and justice. So there's a lot to do, but I think those are some of the important influence on my spirituality growing up.
It's a beautiful story, and I can see this Midwestern young guy out playing football and really appreciating nature in that way. And you do, your writings are full of nature and the arts and justice and compassion. I mean, there's so much there, and I can't wait to dig into this more. We need to take a break in just a minute, and when we come back, I'd love to hear what you've described as creation spirituality. But before we go, I want to make sure our listeners know how to find you. Can you give us your contact information, your website?
Right. It's just www.matthewfox2tsinmatthew.org. Pretty simple.
Okay, www.matthewfox.org. Excellent. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we are going to just be in awe of the potential of what moves through these words. I really love your vision, and I love what you've put into motion for many, many, many people on the planet. We're going to talk about creation spirituality, the cosmic Christ, and so much more. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic Coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host@transformationtalkradio.com, and then we'll give you a call.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference. Join us Valentine's Day Saturday. Inheritance Maiden Mother Crone by Sinner Saint Burlesque will entertain, challenge, empower, confuse, embrace, and deeply engage the audience, weaving feminist activism, international dialogue, and our sensory exploration for both ancient and modern myths about the feminine. Community-building events include Open Space World Cafe dialogues with inspirational Jane talks to explore issues important to women and a teen activist panel interwoven with intergenerational dialogues. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. That's www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for early bird specials throughout December.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Get Into It, Winning at the Game of Life with intuitive energy healer and medium Lynn Brown on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to bring the magic of soul into every aspect of your life. Learn how to use spirit tools and experience the immediate connection with yourself as a spiritual being with natural spiritual abilities as you are guided on the pathway to success and joy. Visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, the letter U, intuit.com. And get into it now.
We're We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, and this is Dr. Julie Kroll. My guest today is Matthew Fox. And Matthew, right before the break, we kind of got a feel for who you were growing up as a kid and that early influence on your life and your career. And wow, you have really had a beautiful, well, I don't know if it feels like beautiful all the time, but from the outside, what you manifest and bring into form for the rest of us is certainly beautiful. So I really appreciate that. And one of the things really on the planet and in our consciousness right now is looking at religion and spirituality just a little bit differently. And you bring the term to us, creation spirituality. Let's talk about that for a little bit. What is creation spirituality?
Well, in terms of a tradition, it's finding the sacred in all of creation and in our relationships to creation. So it obviously rings with indigenous spirituality very strongly. But in terms of the biblical tradition, in fact, I can prove that it's the oldest tradition in the Bible. The J source in the Hebrew Bible is creation-centered. But so true is the wisdom tradition, which came late in the Hebrew history, but Jesus, scholars today agree that the historical Jesus comes from the wisdom tradition of Israel. And the wisdom tradition is about finding God in nature, more than in books. And clearly, Jesus was this kind of person. He was probably illiterate, but he found, think of all of his parables, so many of them are exactly about observing nature and finding the relationship with the divine there. Of course, Christ spirituality is a part of the prophets, too, and that's another tradition that influenced Jesus. The prophets, of course, stand up to injustice. They interfere with injustice. So it's very primal in our tradition. Now, in the New Testament, the very first writer, of course, was Paul, and he has these amazing hymns to the cosmic Christ, where he says Christ is that which holds everything together in the heavens and on the earth. So the whole sense of cosmology was very much a part of the early Christian worldview. And it was not about, am I saved, so much as it was about, are we, as a people, carrying on both the beauty and the grace of creation for further generations. And, of course, this raises the whole question of the ecological challenge that we have today as a species. And the medieval mystics, great ones like Hildegard of Bingen, Meister Eckhart, Thomas Aquinas, Mechthilde Magdeburg, Julian Norwich, all these people were very creation-centered. Francis of Assisi, of course. And their view of the world was like Native American. It was cosmology before anthropocentrism, before the human, that we're part of something much bigger than just the human agenda. And, of course, this is what we're relearning today with the new science, but also with the ecological devastation, that climate change is obviously something bigger than any of us, and it has to do with our neglect, really, of the real relationships in nature, and how we've been so busy mining nature and really raping nature in many respects and leaving pollution behind, that we have warmed up the planet and that things are coming to a real serious head at this time. So I like to say that there's no such thing as a Roman Catholic rainforest and a Baptist ocean and a Buddhist moon and a Lutheran sun. So once all our religions reset themselves in the context of the sacredness of creation, everything will change. We'll not be making war on one another and on the earth. Instead, we'll be working hard, shoulder to shoulder, to celebrate our common existence and all our relationships, all the sacred relationships we have, and especially those with the rest of nature.
You know, your ecumenical voice is so strong and solid. How can we get people to relax a little bit with this theological challenge and really embrace this cosmology with nature? You do a beautiful job in The Cosmic Christ, and we can go there in a minute, but I'm curious about, like yesterday, I'll tell you what happened to me yesterday. A family member sent a text that out of the blue was quoting scripture. She was sitting at a basketball game and sitting by a woman, and they started talking about all these horrible things that are happening, and surely it's the end of time. And this was a Methodist. She's a Methodist. And she was talking about how horrible it is and challenging everyone to get their affairs in order and to really look at their own lives and where do they need to make change and do they measure up. And I'm thinking, whoa, the theology was so cross-wired. And I think this is kind of like the Main Street general public that really don't understand theology. And you have an ability to make it, I think, more palatable and easy to chew and assimilate. So how do we bring it out of that theological challenge and back into this beautiful Mother Earth and this cosmology that we're talking about?
Well, Thomas Aquinas, who wrote in the 13th century, says, Revelation comes in two volumes, nature and the Bible. And you see so many religious believers in the modern age dropped nature as a source of revelation, and they only look at their Bible. And of course, the Bible is a marvelous book, but it's filled with contradictions. There's even a line in the Bible that says there is no God. So, you know, you have to keep your wits about you. And you know, you can't throw out your analytical brain, or, for example, say that the earth is 6,000 years old because my Bible says, or that homosexuals are unnatural because my Bible says. Well, Bibles were put together by human beings at certain times in history and certain culture, and they didn't know everything, and they don't know everything we know today. We should all be celebrating that the Earth, that the universe is 13.8 billion years old, and that we're part of it. That's the wonder. So the real essence of religion is about wonder and awe and gratitude. It's not about proselytizing and about beating one another up with our Bibles or no Bibles. So, again, we have to get out of this awful anthropocentrism, the idea that the Word of God is my Bible book. Well, the Bible book's only been around about 3,500 years. Good heavens. God has been speaking through 13.8 billion years of history of the universe. Shouldn't we be listening to that? Yes, and even a 13th century saint and theologian Aquinas said exactly that. Revelation comes in two books, nature and the Bible. Meister Eckhart, who came after Aquinas, said that every creature is a word of God and a book about God. So if I spent enough time with a caterpillar, I'd never have to prepare a sermon, because every caterpillar is so full of God. So it's the attention we give nature and existence and creation that, as in any prayer, it's the attention you give. It's not, the purpose is not to win an argument or beat someone else up. That's distorted religion, and there's a lot of that going around. There's such a thing as crackpot Christianity, and we have to recognize that. And there's also crackpot Islam and crackpot Judaism. I mean, religion, anything powerful, has a shadow to it. And you have to keep your wits about you and not be sucked into the whirlpool of nonsense and ignorance and the reptilian brain notion that I win and you lose, I convert you, and so forth. All that is not worthy of us. We're worthy of something greater, and all the great spiritual teachers of the world are telling us that we're worthy of compassion, which is the divine energy and the divine practice. So we should, as you said, we should relax, we should cool it a little, and we need to, I think, move from the reptilian brain that is really running the culture so much today to the mammal brain. And the mammal brain is the compassionate brain, and that's why the word for compassion in both Hebrew, the biblical language, and in Arabic, the word for compassion comes from the word for womb. So the womb people are the mammals, and we bring a sense of kinship and family and compassion to the earth. But so often we settle for the reptilian brain, which is more about being number one, more about competition than is the mammal brain. And of course, you have to do your inner work. You calm the reptilian brain through meditation, because reptiles are good at solitude, lying alone in the sun. They're not real good at kinship and family and bonding. So that's, I think, a major shift that humans have to make today, from the reptilian brain dominance to the mammal brain, and therefore to compassion.
Which also leads to our interbeing again, that interdependence that we talked about.
That's,
you know,
right, interbeing. That's Han's favorite word.
Yeah, I love that word too. You know, the thing that you do, and you just did it again, which is I really greatly appreciate, is that you're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You really do affirm our traditional beliefs, but you just bring us back into the wholeness of really the story, the creation, the divinity, and you just bring us and wrap us back into where we've been as a humanity and help us remember ourselves in relationship to the earth and creation and all of the cosmos. So I really appreciate that. I want to really dig into the cosmic Christ, and I know you're doing something really special on the planet. I have to tell you, I had a friend who got to be a part of the cosmic mass last year and still talks about it as one of the most moving experiences she's ever had. So I want to talk about the cosmic mass and the cosmic Christ when we come back from our break. But for right now, I just want to remind our listeners again, you can find Matthew and all of these wonderful offerings, his books, the schedule, where you can find the next cosmic mass at matthewfox.org. Again, that's with two T's, matthewfox.org. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, more on the cosmic Christ.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, and I'm here with Matthew Fox. And Matthew, right before the break, I mentioned Cosmic Christ. And the thing I love about your book there, The Coming of the Cosmic Christ, is really how you take our world today and you put it in this metaphor of what's happening, literally, of this of the cosmic Christ. So, and here I say metaphor and literally, you're going to have to explain that one. I don't know where that came from, but literally we're taking our dying Mother Earth and looking at it as the crucifixion story. And you go on and on with different parables and different ways of seeing the world. And I'd love to just talk about the cosmic Christ for a little bit.
Yes. You know, earlier I cited St. Paul, who's of course the first writer in the Christian Bible, about the cosmic Christ. He says everything is connected in heaven and the earth. So this is very ancient in Christian teaching, and yet it's rare to hear about it because, again, we've put so much emphasis, especially in Western Christianity, on salvation and redemption and sin and the cross. But the Christian story is much, much bigger than that. Well, it's cosmological. It's about all of creation. And remember, the Bible itself begins with the stories of creation and of how creation is good and, in fact, very good. And that's what the word blessing is. So that's where I get the term original blessing instead of original sin, because original sin is not a Jewish concept. Jesus never heard of it. And it's very strange to set up a religion in Jesus' name with the concept of original sin that he never heard in his life. No Jew has heard about original sin. But original blessing, yes, that life is a blessing. It certainly contains many challenges, but it's a blessing. And intrinsic to all things, all beings, is the cosmic Christ, that it is the image of God we find in all beings. Now, in the East, they call this the Buddha nature. It's a very similar concept. And in Judaism, it is the image of God that is found in all things. Also the Shekinah, the light in all things. So, again, this takes us back to the name of your program, All Things Connected, that we now know that there are light waves, photons, in every atom in the universe. Well, John 1 says Christ is a light of the world and the light in all beings. So this is a cosmic Christ. It's about the divine nature in everything. A wonderful mystical poet today, American, Mary Oliver, has a great poem called At the River Clarion. And it's about her sitting on a stone in the middle of a river while it's flowing and listening very, very carefully to everything that's happening for many hours. But she concludes by saying that it's speaking to her. And the river tells her, I am part of holiness. And the moss in the river says, I am part of holiness. And the stone says, I am part of holiness. That's the cosmic Christ theology, the holiness of every being. It's the intrinsic beauty and grace and image of God that's in every being. So that's the cosmic Christ. And then, as you say, when we go around destroying beings, such as rainforests or whales or elephants or polar bears, and destroying them by destroying their habitat, we are crucifying the Christ all over again. And, you know, we complain about how the Roman Empire crucified Jesus, but the truth is that our empires today, including our corporate empires, are busy crucifying great beauty and health on the planet. So we have to wake up and quit living in the past. You know, too many Christians think only about Jesus on the cross. Well, we've got all these beings on the cross today, including, of course, many human beings being tortured by poverty and, of course, the disappearance now of water and fresh water and land and all this drought that's happening in so many places of the world. Well, at the same time, there's an excess of water flooding and excess snow in other parts of the world. All this climate change is having a profound impact on the on Gaia, who is the, what can I say, the Earth is another Christ, you see. It is part of the cosmic Christ awareness.
You know, you see, you just did it. You did the metaphor and the literal, and it all makes sense to the listener as they listen to you, because really it is bringing what we like to create as metaphor, and just like Jesus spoke in parables, but it's bringing it quite literally into the rock and the stone and the moss and the rainforest, and it's right in front of us. It's right in front of us. I really appreciate how you talk about the resurrection and the crucifixion and really bring it to life in the world and the world of creation. So you also talk about a vision of the second coming. Can we talk about that for a little bit? What are we going to heal the earth, and is this a global renaissance that we're in?
Well, let's hope so. The second coming is not about Jesus coming. It's about the Christ awakening in all of us, that we, just what we're talking about, is about human beings taking responsibility for our role in the evolution of the planet. And, you know, in some ways, we've been asleep. We've been asleep at the switch, so that we've done a lot of things. We've learned a lot, of course, about conquering nature. But we have forgotten the price we paid. And now it's beginning to bite us, just like Hildegard of Bingen said. When you destroy the web of creation, creation itself will punish humanity. So these droughts and these excessive increased hurricanes and the disappearance of water. I mean, I have a friend who last year had his 50th birthday, and to treat himself, he went to Mount Kilimanjaro and climbed the mountain. When he got to the top, he wept because the snow is melting so rapidly there. And it is that snow that provides rivers and water for a lot of East Africa. The same thing is happening in the Himalayas, that the snow of the Himalayas is so responsible for the waters of Southeast Asia, where, of course, what, 60% of the human race lives. And those snows are rapidly disappearing, the glaciers there. And, you know, so the future is not pretty. We humans have to wake up. And I do think all of our spiritual traditions have to come alive, and we're talking now about the Christ metaphors, as you say. But remember, metaphors are very powerful. Joe Campbell used to say people die for metaphors. And metaphors, I think, I always tell my students, I say, you know, everything in life is a metaphor. Everything important in life is a metaphor. Use the word love, use the word death, sex. Beauty, you know, it's all metaphorical. You can't talk about it just in numbers or rational logarithms. This is what distinguishes us from our machines, that we have a sense of beauty and therefore of metaphor. And as you have said, of everything being connected, and things get connected through metaphors. We awaken our memories, we awaken our ancestors and their memories through metaphor. And this is, again, where something like cosmic mass is very important, because we're talking ritual. And ritual is about the morphic field, what Rupert Sheldrake, the British scientist, called the morphic resonance, the collective memory that's in our fields, our ancestors, and all, to bring all this energy alive to help us. And that's the return of the cosmic Christ, because that's the return of the teaching, but also the spirit, the energy of Jesus, who himself, of course, recognized the Christ in himself. You know, but the point is that Jesus is not the only Son of God. We're all sons and daughters of God. We're all other Christs. This is what Meister Eckhart teaches, and Thomas Merton and Dorothy Day and all the real mystics in the West understand that Jesus was telling us we're all sons and daughters of God. That includes our dignity, but also our responsibility, especially at this critical time in history, because humans are coming to a point, you know, where we're time's running out for us. So that's why we can't just pretend that this is business as usual, or religion as usual, or education as usual. We all have to wake up and contribute to our next phase of evolution, which has everything to do with an awakened consciousness about the cosmic Christ, about the divine in all things.
Oh, I could just breathe that in and just stop and pause. every word just soaks in so prophetically and makes, I know for me and many of my colleagues and friends, makes us want to leap into action and be okay with who we are in the world and really move this spirituality into action. And you're a big advocate of that as well. We need to take a break in just a minute, and I'd love to talk about the cosmic Christ and really that sacred activism that you encourage people to take care of the earth and justice and peace and all of these things. But more importantly, I just want to take a moment and see if you have anything on your schedule coming up that our listeners need to be aware of. Do you have any conferences, speaking engagements, or workshops, anything coming up?
I do, but I don't really have my calendar with me right here. They can go online to my webpage, matthewfoss.org, and find the schedule there. I know I'm speaking tomorrow night at a Church of Religious Science in Oakland, but you kind of threw me there. I'm not sure.
No,
I don't look
okay.
Too far ahead.
I
know we're doing
practice.
Cosmic Mass April 12th, Sunday, April 12th in Oakland. On Sunday evening, and the theme will be Gaia Rising, because the Mass is a week after Easter and a week before Earth Day. So that will be the theme to kind of bring in the two celebrations of Easter on the one hand, the rising, but also of Gaia and celebrating Gaia. So that's happening here in Oakland then.
Sure.
In June, we're going to be part of a conference in Los Angeles. We're going to do a Cosmic Mass there on June 4th, Thursday afternoon, actually, the kickoff of a conference on ecology. It's a worldwide gathering. And Bill McKibben will be part of the Cosmic Mass with us because he's giving a keynote that night. Mm. It's sponsored by the at Claremont School of Process Theology, and also this very prophetic Indian woman, Shanya, I forget her name now, Nyandi, I apologize to get her name exactly right. She will be our teacher at that Cosmic Mass. Again, the theme will be the theme of the conference itself, which is the whole purpose of the conference is to awaken people to an ecological civilization, an ecological-based way of living
the
planet.
Well, that's a good lead into our next segment. So our listeners may be wondering, what is a cosmic mass? So when we get back, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk about that cosmic mass. We'll be right back.
To The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference, February 12th through the 16th. This year's theme is I Am We, Hearts Connecting Communities, with special guest Jean Shinoda Bolin, healer Patty Conklin, Penny Pierce, and over 40 experiential life-changing workshops and inspiring evenings, all individually priced for you to create your unique conference. Evenings open to men. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for the early bird specials all through December.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. And hey, if you like what you're hearing today, go visit our website. You can find the archive for today's show and all of our other amazing guests that we have on and our upcoming shows. So visit thedrjulieshow.com. Again, that's thedrjulieshow.com. And for more information and stay connected all week long, visit our Facebook page, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie, where we continue the conversation. So, Matthew, right before the break, you were mentioning a couple events where you will be doing the Cosmic Mass. And like I said, I have a friend that participated in a Cosmic Mass, and it has touched her permanently. She's a different person because of it. So thank you for this work on the planet that you're doing. But tell our listeners, let's talk about that. What is a cosmic mass? And if you want to refer to any of the other things that are coming up that we talked about, I know that you're doing the cosmic mass so many different places now.
Well, the cosmic mass is an effort to reawaken ritual. And to, in that way, ritual is a shortcut, not only for teaching values to the young, but for bringing energy alive again. Because, you know, we can't be instruments of change and evolution if we're not alive, if all our chakras are not engaged. And, you know, there are a lot of people who have become couch potatoes because our culture encourages that. Our entire economic system wants us to be passive consumers, sit on a couch and eat lots of potato chips and watch other people live life so we live vicariously. And that won't do. That's not going to save the planet at all because the very television we're watching has its own agenda, and much of it is about making money for the corporations and the 1%, while the rest of us just slog through life. So we all have to wake up. That's the real meaning of spirituality, is to wake up. Jesus often talked about waking up as opposed to being asleep. So how are the ways that we wake up and wake up one another? Well, ritual and art, music and dance are great ways. And so that's what we do. We're bringing rave, which is an all-night dance in its origin, to have a mystical experience, to go into trance. We're bringing that into Western liturgy. So that's why we call it a mass. It is a mass. When the Pope fired me, I became an Episcopal priest in order to create these cosmic masses, because it was young Anglicans in England, in Sheffield, England, who were in the rave movement, who brought rave into the liturgy. And they had tremendous response to this, especially from the young people, because rave is a language. It's and it's our postmodern way to pray, because it includes DJ, it includes VJ, it includes rap, and we have and of course dancing. So we don't sit in a pew and thumb through pages looking for reading prayers. There's none of that in our cosmic masses. It is about finding the beauty that is found in dance. We have images that are projected and this is where VJs come in. And then the images tell the story. For example, our theme this Sunday for the Cosmic Mass was an economics that works for everyone. And David Corton, who's a really fine writer, envisioning a new economics that works for everyone on the planet, not just the two-legged ones, but all beings. He was our teacher that day. We always have an eight-minute teaching. But we had images, of course, of the poverty of the world and of the beauty of the world and of those who are doing things to make a difference. So it's a marvelous ritual. Is a shortcut. You can ask any indigenous people. This is how for most 90% of our existence, school was not sitting at a desk. It was creating ceremonies together, different generations, the elders and the young. And today the young have so much to offer because there is this new language from rave and from the electronic revolution, such as DJing and VJing and rap and other forms of art. And that everyone can dance. And dancing is the ancient way to pray. And why is dancing so important? It gets us into our lower chakras, and that's where the problem is. We're walking around in our heads. That's why there's an ecological crisis. We have forgotten our connection. Your program is about all things connected. We've forgotten our connection between our feet and the land. And the earth, and that's why we don't care about the earth. We've been taught to think in our heads, to pray in our heads, and we're destroying the earth because of that. So the cosmic mass gets us back into our lower chakras and gives energy to the heart chakra, which is the only place where wisdom is eventually going to come to be born. Wisdom is not born just from the head. It's born from the heart as well, and the guts where you feel grief, where you feel anger, where you feel moral outrage and injustice, you get kicked in the gut. So at our Mass, not only do we celebrate by dancing, but we also grieve together. And that's very important because there's so much to grieve today, and there's so many people on the planet who are not being invited to grieve. And we have practices that we do at the Mass that get us into our common grief as well. And when you can do that, then the creativity can flow. Then we're able to do something. But if you're in grief and blocked up, and the image I have is a boulder in front of the tomb, then the creativity cannot flow. So we have to do our grief work too. So the Christ is not just the Christ of light, but the Christ of wounds, the wounded Christ, the crucified Christ. So you grieve that. Marvelous things happen. Like we did this for 1,000 people at the Sounds True Conference in Colorado Mountains a year ago. And it was amazing, the response to it. And people from many traditions, there were Sufis and goddess people and pagans and atheists, as well as Jews and Christians and rabbis were part of it. But one woman came up, she said, I hate religion. For 29 years, I avoid going to church or even going by churches. But she said, when we did that grieving, she pointed to her heart. And she said, something shifted in me. She said, by the time communion came around, she said, I had to have some. She said, something really transformative happened to me tonight, she said. So this is a powerful way to pray. It's including our ancestors in the process. That's why we call it a Mass, and we have elements of a Mass, such as communion. But it's in a postmodern context. It's ecumenical. We have people from many traditions praying together and dancing together. And again, it's intergenerational. This is language the young know well. They're the ones who know how to be DJs. One thing that it struck me Sunday night was how many young people were, the young adults were there, and indeed how many young men were there. You go to most churches today and there's very few young people there and very few men there. So I think that we're onto something here. This is a language. Ritual is the ancient language to wake people up with and to empower them and to rediscover our common joy, our common beauty, but also our common grief, and therefore to be energized and get the warrior energy to do something about it. Mm. That's the sacred activism that you talked about.
Yeah, wow. You know, that's the one thing that I so appreciate about you is you're bringing people together, you're bringing traditions together, you're bringing generations together, and your voice is really important in that, of really that inclusivity and the ecumenical piece of this that's really quite global, and it's exquisite. I just really want to extend my deepest, deepest gratitude to you for this work you're doing on the planet.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for the work you're doing, because a program like this is so important, to be able to talk about these things that are a little bit out of the box. But when you think about it, that's how everything new begins, with people who don't fit real well in the current boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for saying that. And I just want to let our listeners know that The Physics of Angels is a book that came out late last year, and it's a goodie too. So go check that out on Amazon.com or go to MatthewFox.org. That's M-A-T-T-H-E-W Fox.org. And you can find more about the Cosmic Mass, where he will be, where you can participate, and you can find all the books right there. So again, Matthew, thank you so, so much for being here. And it was just a delight to bring all of these topics to life right here, right now in this moment. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie, and thank you for your program.
Oh, thank you. And listeners, we'll be right back week with so much more. So come back again next week to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as you journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com for next week's guests and to catch up on past shows. See you next week.
Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic Coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host at TransformationTalkRadio.com, and then we'll give you a call.
It's here, the 23rd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference. Join us Valentine's Day Saturday. Inheritance Maiden Mother Crone by Sinner Saint Burlesque will entertain, challenge, empower, confuse, embrace, and deeply engage the audience, weaving feminist activism, international dialogue, and our sensory exploration for both ancient and modern myths about the feminine. Community-building events include Open Space World Cafe dialogues with inspirational Jane talks to explore issues important to women and a teen activist panel interwoven with intergenerational dialogues. Find out all the details at www.womenofwisdom.org. That's www.womenofwisdom.org. Watch for early bird specials throughout December.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Get Into It, Winning at the Game of Life with intuitive energy healer and medium Lynn Brown on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to bring the magic of soul into every aspect of your life. Learn how to use spirit tools and experience the immediate connection with yourself as a spiritual being with natural spiritual abilities as you are guided on the pathway to success and joy. Visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, the letter U, intuit.com, and get into it now. Always inspiring and uplifting, Brenda Thine spreads love and light wherever she goes. Enlightening, empowering, and encouraging readings, Brenda connects with your guides, angels, fairies, and loved ones who have crossed over to provide you with the highest guidance possible to enable you to live your highest truth and maximize your potential. Always light-filled, a session with Brenda will have you feeling wonderful, centered, and ready to take on anything. Schedule your session now at BrendaThine.com. That's Brenda, T-H-Y-N-E.com.